Merry Christmas, everybody. Or as they say, some say Merry Messiahmas. You ever heard that one? Or in Hebrew, Chag Sameach. Try that one. Now, why Hebrew? Why not? I mean, how many of you know that Christmas also is a Jewish holiday? Come on. Best kept secret. Christmas is a Jewish holiday. Somebody tell me why Christmas is a Jewish holiday. I know somebody knows. It's actually a really simple answer. Because we celebrate the birth of a Jewish Messiah. Come on, you get an extra cookie. So, yeah. But in fact, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is written by a Jewish person to Jewish people, and it's in the book of, guess what book? Hebrews. And it wasn't Starbucks. Sorry. Okay. And it goes like this. You might know this verse. The reason why it's one of my favorite verses, it's a remarkable verse. And there, whoops. And in this verse is the whole gospel. This one verse, it's amazing, it's remarkable. This one verse has the whole gospel. But we see Yeshua, or Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels. What's that speak of? Incarnation. Crowned with glory and honor, speaks of resurrection. Because of the suffering of death, speaks of crucifixion. So that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone, which is salvation for all. And so he's saying this is how we see Jesus. But how many of you know this is not how everybody sees Jesus? Not everybody sees Jesus as the incarnation of God or the Son of God. Certainly wasn't the way I saw Jesus growing up in a traditional Jewish family. He certainly wasn't the incarnation of God. He certainly wasn't the Son of God. But I became a seeker. And I love the word seeker because seeker has the word see in it. Right? S-E-E. Because there was something in me that wanted to see and understand who this person Jesus is. I mean, I heard about him growing up. You know, I thought he was the Christian God, you know, and I thought his last name was Christ. But, you know, but there was still something about him that I wanted to understand, wanted to see. And I became a seeker, and eventually I found. But I still consider myself a seeker. You know why? Because the more I see him, Scripture says, the more I will become like him. Now, how many of you know that it's challenging, though, to see Jesus, to see him, especially in the busyness of life? Is anybody not busy? I don't know anybody who's not busy, especially during Christmas. And sometimes, even during Christmas, of all times, it can be difficult to see who Jesus is in the fullness of this magnificent person that he is. Periodically, I check people's blogs on the internet, and I came across this blog by Motley Mama. Now, that's actually not my, that's her name for herself. She calls herself Motley Mama. And in her blog, she talks about her her routine for Christmas shopping, and she has like 13 action steps. Here we go. Number one, realize Christmas is in 5 days. Number two, panic. Number three, go to Target and buy 15 things no one actually wants. Hopefully this is before they got hacked by whoever the hacker was. Yeah. Number four, return home and realize I have no wrapping paper. Number five, go to the dollar store and buy the only wrapping paper left, usually smiling Santas. Number six, return home and realize I have no tape. Seven, go back to the store for tape. Number eight, see Christmas cards at store and feel nostalgic. Number nine, buy Christmas cards and maybe remember the tape. Number 10, return home and realize addressing Christmas cards is the worst. Number 11, spend the next few days trying to find Aunt Kim's address. Number 12, wrap useless gifts at 1 a.m. on Christmas Eve with shoddy dollar store tape. And number 13, swear to never do this again. Well, this evening, I want to give you some advice, not from Motley Mama, but from a man named Simeon, who we know from Scripture saw Jesus. And he saw Jesus not only with his physical eyes, but he saw him with the inward eyes of his heart. And that's something I hope and pray that will happen for each one of us tonight, that we may see more of him and who he really is, not just with our physical eyes, because we can't at this point, but see him with the inward eyes of our heart. So to do that, we want to look at this guy, Simeon, Luke chapter 2, 25. And I'd like to ask Dave Fritz to share the story of Simeon with us to find out and discover what is his secret. Why was he able to really see who Jesus is?
At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and devout man and was looking for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Miriam and Joseph came to present the baby, Jesus, to the Lord as the Torah required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Now, Lord, let your servant die in peace. For as you promised, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people, Israel."
Thank you, Dave. Good job. So what was Simeon looking for? First seeker is that he was looking. He was looking. He was a seeker. What was he looking for? I heard it. Somebody say it a little louder. The consolation of Israel. And I believe everybody's looking for consolation. Everybody's looking for some kind of satisfaction in life. And I recently read a survey, again on the internet, and it was a survey of what people want for Christmas. Well, guess what the majority of people wanted for Christmas? You can put it in the category called gadgets. 76% of the people that were surveyed wanted some kind of gadget for Christmas. You know, iPhone, iPad, Xbox. By the way, do you know that rumor has it that iPhone 6 is coming out in spring? Can you believe it? 5S just came out and 6 is coming out. Come on. So 76% of the people surveyed want some kind of gadget. Now, that doesn't surprise me. The next one surprised me. 34% of the people surveyed want shoes. I don't quite get that one. 30% wanted a vacation. That sounds good. Come on. You go on a vacation, I can tell. 26% wanted books. 22% wanted jewelry. 10% wanted money. 7% wanted money. 5% wanted to be able to celebrate Christmas with their family. Sounds good. And 4% wanted world peace. Somebody's got to want world peace. Come on. And 2% wanted good health. Yeah, good things. But Simeon, that first Christmas, he wanted something far above all those things. He was looking for something else. He was looking for what? He was looking for the consolation of Israel. That is to say, he was looking for the Christ, the promised one to come, whose first coming would bring inner peace, and his second coming would bring world peace. How many of you know we need peace in our heart before we will ever have peace on earth? And Jesus first came to bring us peace in our hearts. Now, Simeon, he understood something that my my old mentor told me. And you may recognize, you possibly might recognize him, but here's what he told me.
I can get no satisfaction.
can't get. Come on. Right. You know, as far as I know, he's still looking. That's why he's my old mentor. But Simeon understood something. He understood something that a man named Augustine said several centuries later. He said, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." Or he understood something that a man named Pascal, a French physicist, said several centuries after him. He said, "Man is a God-shaped vacuum which only God can fill." In other words, if we seek satisfaction in anything apart from God, we'll only find ourselves unsatisfied. If we seek consolation in anything apart from God, we'll only find ourselves unconsoled. If we seek fulfillment in anything apart from God, we'll only find ourselves unfulfilled. But Simeon was a seeker. That was his secret. He was a seeker. And you know what? He sought and he found. And the promise is the same for all of us. You know, Jesus made this promise. If you seek, if you really want to know him, this magnificent man, Christ Jesus, really know him. If you seek after him, you really can know him. Okay? He sought, he found, and so can you. So, Simeon, his first secret for seeing Jesus was that he was a seeker. He was looking. Secondly, he was a believer. He was believing. Look with me. He was believing in what? He was believing that God's promises are true. You know, I can only imagine. Here's Simeon. You know, he's, I don't know how old he is there. How old does he look? 40? Now, he's an older man at this point in his life. But he was a man that read the scriptures. And I can only imagine one day he was reading the Bible, and he was reading Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Does anybody know what chapter 9, verse 6 says? "Unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and upon his shoulders shall be the government, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Kind of goes on and goes on. Well, here's what happened, I believe. He was reading that verse, and all of a sudden he heard the voice behind the word. Now, have you ever read the Bible, or read a scripture passage, and you heard the voice behind the word? So here's what happens when you hear the voice behind the word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So something quickened in his spirit. As he read that verse, the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and he said, "Simeon, you're going to see this fulfilled in your lifetime." Now, I don't know about you, but that would kind of blow my lights out. That would just, wow. I believe he said, "For as you promise," God made this promise to him that he would see this come to pass before he died. You know, God loves making promises. You know how many promises there are in the Bible? They might know. I'm sure you've counted them recently. One guy did. He said he counted 3,567 promises in the Bible. That's a lot of promises. You know, when I first became a believer, I was a student at university, and I had never read the Bible. So somebody, after I had this spiritual, supernatural experience where Jesus sort of showed up in my bedroom one night, this guy said to me, "Fred, you ought to read the Bible now." Okay, that sounds like a good idea. So I started reading the very beginning of New Testament, Matthew. And I got to Matthew 6, and for the first time I read a promise. And, you know, I was at this point in my life where, you know, I was my third year, and I had no idea where my life was going. I mean, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what I wanted to be. I didn't know if I would ever get a job, what kind of job I would do, how I would provide for myself. I mean, I didn't know what was up. I didn't know what way to go. And I read this verse, and it said this: "Be not anxious for anything." Don't worry. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And when I read that verse for the first time in my life, I heard the voice behind the word. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, quickened in me and said, "That promise is for you, Fred." And faith came. I believed it. I just all of a sudden, I believed that I don't have to worry anymore, that I can actually trust this God. that somehow this God, this Lord, was going to provide for me and take care of me if I put him first in my life. And that was 1971. And I can honestly say he has been faithful and true. It's been more than 40 years now, and I've just been, I every day I say, God, I just can't believe how you've just led my life, how you have just provided for me and just made a way for me, because I had no idea where I was going. Thank you. Thank you. And then I read this other promise, Acts chapter 16. It says, he who believes in the Lord Jesus, he and his whole family shall be saved. There's something happens to you when you become a believer. You want everybody to believe too, because it's such a good thing, but especially your family. And my Jewish family, as you can imagine, they really weren't interested. But when I read that verse, I heard the voice behind the word, and faith came. And I knew that God was going to fulfill that promise. Didn't happen overnight. 15 years later, my mother had a supernatural encounter. Jesus showed up in her foyer, and she became a believer. My father was on his deathbed, went into the intensive care unit, laid hands on him. He got supernaturally healed. He became a believer. And then 40 years after I became a believer, just last summer, my brother finally became a believer. So that's three down, one to go. But I believe because of the promise of God. God's promise, all these promises, Scripture says, are fulfilled in him. They are true and amen. So I ask you this evening, what promise has God made to you? You know, God promises that all things will work together for good in your life. Amen. If you love him and trust him. I don't know what's going on in your life. Some of you are going through some really not good stuff right now. And you were just wondering where all this is going to go. But there's a great promise. All things, whatever you're going through right now, God promises you it all will work together for the good, for those who love him or are called according to his purpose. He promises, he says, I know the plans I have for you. Not plans for evil, but for good. To give you a future and a hope. That's a great promise. All you have to do is what? Believe it. Just as Simeon did. For as you promise, my eyes have seen your salvation. By the way, you know what the Hebrew word is for salvation? Yeshua, Jesus. My eyes have seen Jesus, your salvation. Finally, we see that Simeon not only believed the promises of God, but he was led by the Spirit of God. He was led to where? He was led to the temple, which is the house of God, the place of God's presence, which is to say, the presence of God. Now, sometimes, if you're like me, you wonder if you're being led by the Spirit. And what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? It's kind of like this sort of mystical thing, be led by the Spirit who you can't even see. You know, I'm led by the Spirit. Where is he? I don't know, but I'm led by the Spirit. Well, you know, I remember my first Christmas. You know, I never celebrated Christmas growing up, as you might imagine. But I remember my first Christmas when I became a believer. I was living in a house with four other Christian guys. And I've decided, you know, I'm going to do this Christmas thing. I'm going to try it out. I'm going to give gifts to the other guys in the house. So I'm like thinking and praying, look, what can I give to this guy and this guy? And there was this one guy, Bob, not that Bob, but another Bob. And I thought, okay, I'm like, what can I give Bob? I mean, I just couldn't think, what can I give Bob? And I remember that Bob liked flannel shirts. And I was wearing a flannel shirt. And then I remembered that he liked my flannel shirt. Because he would say to me, man, I really like your shirt, man. And all of a sudden I had this thought, give him your shirt. Have it another shirt. I even buy him a new shirt. But not, I like this shirt, not this shirt. Well, I wrestled for about 2 hours, 3 hours, you know. Finally, I gave in, and I gave him my shirt, and it was good. He loved it. I was blessed, you know. And I think I was led by the Spirit. But you know what? As we get older, the decisions we need to make get a whole lot weightier, don't they? I mean, giving away your flannel shirt, you're a big deal. But as we get older, Some of you really need to know you're being led by the Spirit, because some of you are wondering, do I need to go after another job? Do I need a new career? Do I need to go back to school? Do I need to buy a new house? Do I need life insurance? Or do I need long-term care insurance? That's my new one. That's a real sign that you're really getting up there, you know. Long-term care insurance. Well, I don't know yet. But what I do know is that God, the Spirit of God, wants to lead us in everything, but especially he wants to lead us into his presence. Why? Because the Spirit of God leads us into the presence of God so that we can see and behold the Son of God. And that's what this thing's all about. That's what this whole thing called Christianity is all about. It's being led by the Spirit of God into the presence of God so that we can see the Son of God, who for a little while was made lower than the angels because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for every child of God, which is you. So this evening, I want to close by praying a special blessing. You know, how many of you have heard of the Aaronic blessing? Well, this is similar. You know, it goes, the Lord bless you and keep you. You know that one? Well, this is the Simeonic blessing. And I want to pray this blessing over you as we close, because I believe there is great power in blessing. You know, something's released when someone blesses you. You ever been blessed? If somebody says a blessing over you, something happens. Something is released. So I want to release a blessing on you this evening, believing that you're going to receive an impartation. Okay? So if you would, could you please stand for this? First, let me pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this evening. Lord, I thank you for leading us into this house of God so that we might hear about the promises of God, so that we might be led by the Spirit of God into the presence of God, that we might behold, Father, the Son of God, Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord, that your presence is here this evening. Lord, we sense your presence right now. What I pray is I pray this blessing. I believe a blessing, that a kind of blessing Simeon might pray himself. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would release great blessing on each person here. So I just encourage you, as I pray this blessing, you might want to just put your hands out, just as a posture of just wanting to receive from God this evening. So may the Lord be your satisfaction and your consolation. May he bless you and fill you with every promise from God. And may he lead you by the Spirit of God into the presence of God so that you may see the Son of God. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This carol, let us come, O you faithful.